The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to our Wednesday edition of the show, and we are live from the Bahamas. Apologize for a couple of technical difficulties getting us up and running here, but our internet connection is good to go, finally. And we are going to spend the next hour talking about game day for the Kentucky basketball team as the Wildcats will open their series of four games here in the Bahamas tonight against the Bahamas select team. 7 Eastern time is the tip. We'll start coverage on the UK Sports Network at 6:30 Eastern from the arena that Kentucky played in a couple of years ago against Arizona State. It's also the arena set up here at the hotel, at the Atlantis Hotel Resort, where they host the Battle for Atlantis each year at Thanksgiving. So, four games to talk about, but the first one is against the Bahamas select team. I think if you think about it in terms of degree of difficulty, the team they'll play Saturday from Serbia, Mega B-Max, is, I think, the best of the four teams and would probably have the best chance to get a win against Kentucky. San Leandro from Argentina, they will play Kentucky tomorrow night. That's probably, the consensus is from what I've been told, the second best team that, of the four Kentucky will play. And then there's not a consensus as to who would be third and who would be fourth between the Bahamas select team and Team Toronto, because they have, at this point, very little information on the team they'll play Sunday from Canada. As far as the team that played tonight, the Bahamas national team played in a qualifier for the Basketball World Cup, and they had Buddy Hield playing. They had Tum-Tum Nairn from Michigan State playing. Those guys are not playing now. And from the original list that we had down here, Dwight Colby is also off. He's the former Western Kentucky Hilltopper who, according to the coach of the Bahamas select team, has a pro tryout, so he elected to take that opportunity rather than to play here, understandably. But would have been fun to see a former Ole Miss Rebel and Hilltopper going up against the Wildcats. His brother Kadeem is on the roster, played against Kentucky for Wichita State back in 2014. He was on that 13 Final Four team from Wichita. You'll hear the term Bahamas select team and national team. The national team is the one that played in the qualifier. This team is a select team, a bit of an all-star team, if you will. And so they have actually a couple of high school guys on here I'll tell you about in a second. Shaq Clair is on this team. He played against Kentucky for Maryland up at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn back in the 2013 season. That was the game where Jared Polson had the big game off the bench. Clair later transferred to Texas. Big guy, 6'9", 260. So that'll be an interesting matchup for the Kentucky Bigs. He's been playing professionally overseas since leaving Texas. They've got Michael Carey from Wagner, who had 27 career double-doubles. So clearly he can play. Maybe one of their better players. Got a guy named Eugene Bain, who hit a big shot for the Bahamas against North Carolina 4 years ago here when Carolina came in for a series of games and was upset. Now, the Bahamian team had this young guy named DeAndre Ayton that just went off in that game as well. I think they had Buddy Hield also. But Eugene Bain was on that team and hit a big shot. And then there are a couple of interesting 17-year-olds on this team, at least two that we're aware of at this point. One is Samuel Hunter, who was mentioned in the story in the Herald Leader today. He's 6'9", going into his senior year of high school, and he has offers already from Kansas State and Colorado State. The other is a young man, it's K-A-I Jones. We're thinking it's Kai, but not sure yet. He played on a prep school team last season in Orlando with Nasir Little, who is the player who went to sign with North Carolina, had the big game, I think a McDonald's game. Anyway, Jones is going up to play in New Hampshire for his final high school season, but he already has more than a dozen D1 offers. He's 6'10". I was doing a little research on him yesterday. Played in the basketball Beyond Borders camp that the NBA runs. He looks like he's about 12, except that he's 6'11", but he's only 200 pounds. So very, very young-looking guy, but obviously very talented, too. Fran Fraschilla was quoted as saying in the one of the articles I read that he's not a one-and-done type, but definitely an NBA prospect, and he really got a lot of interest from some of the folks who follow international basketball, like Fraschilla and John Giovanni at this NBA camp earlier this summer. So he's a guy to keep an eye on tonight, if indeed, you know, we're still not 100% sure who's playing and who's not, but hopefully he will, because that would be a little interesting thing to see as well. Going to get to our first break. When we come back, TJ Beisner is with us from CoachCal.com. We'll get a little take on what the team did yesterday. A little later, we'll hear from Coach Steve Smith of Oak Hill, where Keldon Johnson played, and then John Hale from the Courier-Journal will wrap us up on this Bahamas Wednesday edition of the Leach Report. Presented by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Back in the Bahamas, TJ Beisner with us from CoachCal.com. He'll be working with us on the radio broadcast tonight, too, doing sideline reporting. And down here, that means, and you've already worked this out, you were telling me, that Cal's not going to coach the games. He's going to sit up in the stands like he did last time. And I remember last time, 4 years ago here, ESPN had him running camera at one point.
Yep.
So we're going to actually get him occasionally during the course of the game to, we'll throw it up to you and get a comment or two.
Yeah, he thinks he was just kind of taking the day off, I think is what it was.
Oh, no.
Until we said, actually, we got something you could do. We'll get you on the broadcast.
Yes.
So looking forward to him shooing me away a couple times, but then also being willing to do it two or three times.
Yeah, so that'll be a little addition to our broadcast tonight. Then we'll get a little running commentary from Cal over the course of the game. And I'm just eager to see him against outside competition. We've seen practices, you more than I, but, yeah, it looks good. But it's much like watching all the football practices this time of year. I don't really know what I'm seeing until I see him against somebody else.
Yeah, and that's what's been so exciting about this group is because, you know, they've competed at a really high level. Even practice yesterday, I saw them come in. I thought maybe we're going to be a little sluggish today. It's a long trip. I thought they had a really crisp, good practice in front of the fans yesterday. And to see them compete against someone else is something that they crave, too. I think the guys are ready, but we'll see. Because Cal, when we got here Monday, we had a walkthrough that night. He told them, look, 60 to 70% of what I'm telling you, you're not going to do it correctly in these games. I know it. We're not to that point yet, but let's just play through it and let's play hard. And so, you know, to see how they respond to those moments where they're struggling or things aren't going their way is going to be very interesting and a very important part of their development. So, you know, I'm super excited, as you said, to just see them go against someone else.
You're not going to see Jamal Baker down here. He's still has a little issue with his knee that he had operated on. So he's on the trip and was moving around well yesterday, did not practice, so we don't anticipate seeing him down here. But otherwise, you've got intense competition. These guys can see when they're out there practicing what the level of talent is like around them. So, you know, they're smart enough to be motivated by that, knowing that they've got to impress the coach every day.
And also, you know, if you go back a few weeks, Cal was adamant, we're not going to platoon. We're not going to play groups. We're going to just sort this out and have a rotation. At least for tonight's game, my understanding is it's going to be groups of five. Five in, five out, which is a testament to the competition in practice. And no one has really been left behind. It's you know, within your 10 guys, you're seeing, you know, more consistent performers at a high level, but not so much more than the 10th man. And so that's good for this team because it makes practice better. I think that it can make this trip more productive and see, you know, how you separate yourself against competition. And you know, it's an opportunity because there are going to be guys in that second group who feel like they should be in the first group. And that sets the tone for the camp that will come after they get back from the Bahamas.
And, again, we don't expect they'll be platooning all the way through. So we expect. And that is going to be one of the more interesting things to watch, assuming it plays out that way, is the different combinations he deploys and who looks good together. down here, I remember 4 years ago, there was a combo that looked great together that you knew you never were going to see because they were too small together. But when they put Tyler Ulis and Dominique Hawkins out there together harassing the other guards as on the second unit, that was fun to watch.
Yeah, this is a team that I think will be different, not just the two units, but once we get into a rotation, the value of the versatility. Each of these guys can do different things and play multiple positions that Cal can make one substitution and be a completely different team. And that's the challenge right now, trying to figure out offensively what they want to do, defensively what they want to do, because you're figuring out each individual player. You're figuring out which five you want on the floor, what that looks like in its best form. And I think with this team, we will see a small lineup at some point that is Reed Travis and P.J. Washington and Keldon Johnson in the front court, which isn't all that small, but it's significantly smaller than the alternative when you have 2 7-footers available on your roster. So how they do it today will be interesting. I really, really can't wait to see Keldon Johnson, though, because he's been playing high school basketball, but he's just a different type of player from what I've seen in practice.
And just looking at him as he walks onto the court, you'll notice that he looks older, more physically mature than a lot of the freshmen. Now, part of the reason is he's 19, where Kevin Knox was 17.
Yeah, and he carries himself with a different confidence, I think, than anyone on the team, honestly. All the things that fans liked about P.J. Washington last year with the flexing and the attitude and being the tough guy, that is Keldon times 10, P.J. I mean, Keldon's just on another level. He goes at it with the coaches in a playful way. You know, they challenge him, and Kenny Payne will talk a little trash to Keldon, and then he'll talk a little trash back when he makes a play. They want him to be that guy, and I think he's embraced it. I think his teammates like it, that he has that mindset. And now we see some competition. We'll see, you know, how that sort of manifests itself, and especially if he struggles at some point. How does that play out? Can you keep that confidence and keep that aggressiveness when you're having some mistakes or you're struggling a little bit, which is going to happen at some point this week? There's going to be a stretch where he's, you know, struggling a little bit. How do you respond?
Before I let you come down here, I taped an interview with his coach at Oak Hill, Steve Smith, and we're going to have that coming up in the second half of the show and talking a lot about what TJ was just talking about there. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more from the Bahamas. It is the Leach Report Radio Network, and we're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Back with TJ Beiser from CoachCal.com, and he'll be working with us with Mike and I on the broadcast tonight as well here on the UK Sports Network, and we will hit the air at 6:30 Eastern with our pregame. Our guest lineup today, by the way, on the show, always presented by Sleep Outfitters, Coach Steve Smith and John Hale from the Courier Journal, coming up in the second half. TJ, you were telling me a story yesterday about Keldon Johnson, we were just talking about, and this trip to the Samaritan's Feet organization that Cal has connected with over the last few years. It's a wonderful cause to help kids who don't have new shoes to get new shoes. It's a part of the servant leadership thing that he always talks about and drives home with his guys. And tell us a little bit about the story with Keldon yesterday.
It was really neat to see these guys experience it. And first of all, the team, they're so good with kids. I mean, we've done all these camps all summer. They are really, really good with kids. We got to a point where, you know, we get into the church and they welcome everybody and the kids are coming through. And Keldon, you know, like everyone, really embraced it. And they looked the kids in the eye and talked to them about what they like. And he looked at this girl. He's tying up her shoes. And she had pink little princess shoes and gets them tied up. And he looks at her and he was like, you know what? You're going to be the prettiest girl in your school wearing these shoes. And she got the biggest smile on her face. She was probably 6 or 7 years old. And but, you know, they really embraced it. They made the most of that experience. And I know that means a lot to Cal. That's an organization that's very important to him. And certainly the servant leadership part of it, of the Kentucky experience, is something that he wants them to succeed in and really embrace. And so it was, you know, it's hard to even put into words what that was like for those guys yesterday, just being a part of it in that church, and those people were so grateful, and they were wonderful with the kids and made all of them feel really special when they walked out of there.
One of the things we're going to do on our pregame show tonight is try to get a player interview each game we're down here to help you get to know some of the young guys. They had Keldon Johnson and Reed Travis in the media session last week promoting this trip. My goal for this first game is to get E.J. Montgomery to talk about, you know, his battles, because he's going up against the older guys every day. And P.J. and Nick and Reed Travis were the guards that are going up against each other. Most of them have the same level of college experience. But you also were in on something that E.J. did for CoachCal.com, where he sat down with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and that was what we're trying to do, is because Cal's going into his 10th season, connect. You know, it seems like it hasn't been that long, but these guys, P.J. Washington talks about John Wall, making him want to come to Kentucky as a kid watching John Wall. E.J. Montgomery, same thing with Anthony Davis. And the advice part of it, I didn't know what to expect. First of all, we surprised E.J., had Anthony there, and he came in and had no idea. And E.J. is quiet to begin with, just kind of, you know, a little reserved. He was speechless, didn't know what to say. So I was thinking to myself, from a content perspective, I really hope Anthony carries this. You know, I was trying to. Anthony was wonderful. It was, we had probably 25 minutes of just directly telling him, here's how I struggled. You know, I couldn't make a shot on this basket, blah, 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 blah. This is what to expect. It was absolutely awesome. And EJ did talk after that. We talked about it for like, you know, 30 seconds. He enjoyed it. So we're hoping to have a lot more of those coming out, but it's really just connecting, you know, the past. Even the pass under John Calipari, which isn't all that much pass, and the relative to Kentucky basketball history, and these guys embrace it so far.
You can see it at CoachCal.com, and you'll hear TJ with us tonight on the broadcast. For now, I'm sure you have one or two other things Cal might have you doing.
He's been calling me while we were sitting here, so I didn't answer, so in trouble. I heard that he said that I don't answer enough, because after a certain point at night, I don't answer because I'm trying to set a precedent. So I'm in the Bahamas. I have no excuse.
All right. Thank you for coming by.
Thanks, Tom.
That's TJ Beisner, and we're halfway home. Coach Steve Smith from Oak Hill talking about Keldon Johnson. We come right back. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Thanks.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
It's the Leach Report on the road in the Bahamas. Welcome back into the show. And right now we're going to hear from Steve Smith. He's the coach at Oak Hill Academy, where Keldon Johnson played last season. We're about to get our first look at Keldon in game action after a series of rave reviews from folks who have watched practice. Coach, tell me about what do you think about Keldon, not just his game, but his whole makeup that'll make him successful here at Kentucky.
Well, you know, he's got size, and the good thing about Keldon is he plays so hard all the time, and I think Coach Cal will probably tell you the same thing, you know, through the practice they've had so far. I mean, he's a type guy that he shows up every day, he never takes a day off. He was our best player, obviously, last year, but you know, he was our best player in practice, too, and he was our hardest worker. And that kind of permeated through our team and made us have the year we had last year. We won 44 games with him. And he has a mentality. He wants to win, and he wants to play hard. And, you know, that's his style of play. And he'll attack the basket. He's got a good pull-up game. He shoots a three-pointer pretty well. Once he does that extremely well, then you know, he's going to be one of those guys that'll be a pro player one day. So, you know, I just love the way he brings his energy every day.
I've often heard coaches say that it makes their life a lot easier when their best player is also their hardest worker, and sounds like that's what you had with Keldon.
Yeah, absolutely. The year before, I had a player, I won't name him, but he was a player similar to Keldon, and probably was our least working player, you know, day in and day out. So when I had Keldon this year, it was a joy to coach him. And I mean, he's got a great personality. He's always smiling. He's kind of a jokester off the court in a good way. And he's fun to be around. He's fun to coach. He's very coachable. And, you know, he's a guy he's going to be great. I think the fans are going to love him there. And whether he's there a year or 2 years, whatever. But he's got the ability, I think, to be one of those guys that could be one and done. But he likes college. I've talked to him since he's been there. He loves it. You know, I can see him staying there. You know, some guys are there trying to get out of there, and I don't think he's that. That's not his mentality. He's going to work as hard as he possibly can, and if the opportunity is there, fine. If not, I could see him staying there a while, but you never know.
Everything from I've heard from practice and have seen, it's the intensity that he brings to the floor that really is the first thing that jumps out about him. Did he come to you that way, or did he grow into that kind of mindset?
No, I've never seen him any other way. I mean, he describes himself as a dog and a guy that just gets after it. And, you know, even if you had we might have practiced hard 2-3 days in a row in the fall and said, hey, we're going to go for an hour today. He's still coming in for an hour and going as hard as he possibly can. He never takes a day off, and that makes him fun to coach. And, like I say, that helps with other players. And, of course, he's just a freshman at Kentucky, so I doubt, you know, he's their leader yet, but he's the type of guy that can be your leader. I don't know if Coach Cal lets freshmen be leaders, but Kellen's got that kind of personality, and he's really enthusiastic when he plays. He's demonstrative on the floor. I mean, he's just a guy. Even when he's not making shots, he'll just do other things, and he just wants to be a winner.
Let's talk about his game. How did he improve in the time he was with you?
Yeah, I think his perimeter shot improved. You know, one of the things I talked to him about when he came was need to be more consistent from the three-point line, need to be more consistent when he's shooting one dribble pull-ups from like 17, 18 feet. So when you tell him that, he works on those things, and he's much better, I think, from that standpoint. A lot of people is not, you know, when they write these guys up, scouting services, they look for something negative when you got a top 10 player, and they will always say his perimeter shot or his three-point shooting. But he worked on that. He saw what people were saying, and I told him, I don't go on scouting services. I go on what I see in practice, and here's what I think you need to work on. And he's a very good passer. He's a willing passer. You know, he's not a guy that has to get a lot of shots up. If he gets 4 or 5 shots and a half, he's probably happy. And if he gets 10, 12 points and that's what it takes for him to win, fine. If he's got to get 20, then he gets 20. For me, he obviously, in high school, he had to score. And he averaged about 22 points a game, which for us is a lot because he probably played 20 to 22 minutes a game because we blew a lot of teams out, you know, at high school level. So, you know, he could have had bigger numbers, but he just wanted to win, and he just did whatever I asked him to do.
In another sport, we had a guy here at Kentucky named Randall Cobb, plays for the Packers now, that was that kind of competitor. And he used to talk about how he would look for things that were out there that were knocks or slights against him and used it as motivation. You talked about some of the things that people would question about Keldon's game. Is he the kind of guy that has that mindset?
Yeah, he does. He would look at the guys that were supposedly ranked in front of him in his position, which there weren't many. I think he wanted 2 guys. R.J. Barrett was one of them who was supposedly the number one player in the country, and you know, he said, hey, I'm as good as he is. I might be better than he is. And they played the McDonald's game together, and he took that as a challenge. And I don't know if you watched it, or I'm sure some of the Kentucky fans watched it just to see Kelvin, but he took a charge late in the game, which ended up helping his team win. And R.J. Barrett took it to the basket. He took a charge. You don't see charges taken in the McDonald's
game. No, you don't.
Trust me.
I remember that being pointed out.
I've been to that game a lot, and I've coached that game, and I don't think I've ever seen a charge taken. But that was the deciding play of the game, and he had scored just the possession prior to that. So he actually was trying to win the game, and I think when I coached it, I remember telling my guys, the only guy that wants to win this game is me. You guys are all playing for the MVP. I understand that, but Kelvin wanted to win the game. I mean, he wanted to win. You know, he wanted his team to win. Most guys in the McDonald's game, those All-Star games, they're not playing to win the game. They're playing to showcase themselves. But that's his mindset.
You are from Kentucky, and so you know what it's like around the Kentucky program. How do you think Kelvin will adapt to that spotlight?
I think he likes it. I mean, he probably followed his recruiting back in the fall. I don't think his dad wanted him to go there early on, but he won his dad over, and I know he could probably go to other places. I mean, he's being recruited by some ACC schools that were trying to tell him, you're going to be our guy. You're going to be the face of the program. You know, you're going to be the guy that gets us going. You're going to be this and that. He knew at Kentucky he could be the guy. He might not be the guy. he's one of the guys, and he understood that. But that's what he wanted, because he wants to play for a championship. He wants. He was demoralized this year. He sprained his ankle and got hurt, and we got beat in the semifinals. In what's kind of like the national tournament for high schools, the Geico Nationals in New York at the end of the year, and he was devastated that we lost. And we lost because he got hurt, and you know he wasn't the same player. But that's what he. That's what he wanted out of Kentucky. I mean, obviously he wanted to go to Kentucky and get better as a player, but he wanted to go there because they have a winning tradition. He wanted to go there because of the fan base. I told him, I said, I'm from Kentucky. My dad had season tickets to the games since 1977, and I can tell you how it is there, and I can tell you what the fans expect out of you. But he wanted that. You know, that's something he wanted to do. He wants to play for a national championship.
And that's, you know, you've had guys come through here. That's the kind of mindset it takes to play here, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because it's, I mean, you're scrutinized, and, I mean, the fans are, they're great fans, but, you know, they demand a lot, and they want to win every year. And but that's what he wants, and he wanted a challenge, and that's why he chose Kentucky.
Coach, I appreciate your time. We're looking forward to watching him play.
Sure. I think you'll like him.
That's Oakdale Academy Coach Steve Smith. And this is the Leach Report. We'll continue in just a couple of minutes from here in the Bahamas.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Back in the Bahamas, our Leach Report shows this week and from now on, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, located in Palomar and in the Hamburg Center. John Hale joins us from courier-journal.com, where you'll be able to read his coverage of Kentucky's four games here in the Bahamas. So what are you most interested to see in these four games as they play out?
Yeah, we were just talking a little off-air. I want to see how he deals with Calipari, deals with lineup combinations tonight. When we watched practice last week, he stuck with two basic groups of five with P.J. Washington, Reed Travis on different teams. I know you saw practicing yesterday. I want to see if he'll play those two guys together at all or if he's going to stick with those basic fives that we've seen so far in practice and platoon or do whatever else like we saw 4 years ago here because those guys may be more familiar with each other. But for me, it would be interesting over the course of four games to see some different lineup combinations to see who works well together. And how those guys kind of play off each other.
If you were just choosing up sides for a pickup game, P.J. and Reed would probably be among your first five picks, but that they may not necessarily play as well together for long stretches.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you look at their four post guys, I think Reed and P.J. are probably the two most similar options they have. They're both very good, and I think they're probably their two best big men, especially when you consider their experience. But they're both physical. They both play down low. They both tested the draft waters and were told they needed to expand their games and play facing up and show they could shoot and defend multiple positions. So I'm not sure those two together are the best five in terms of spacing the floor and ball movement and all those things, but I think with their presence and their leadership, we'll see them together at some times, but maybe it makes more sense to throw E.J. Montgomery with one of the two of them because he's a little more natural as that kind of stretch four, stretch five kind of player.
You've got essentially the four bigs. You've got, and only one of them was a freshman, so E.J.'s going up against vets every day, and P.J. and Nick and Reed. But then you've got at the guards, easy to pick two of those guys to be your one and your two. Kelvin Johnson seems naturally to be your three, but when he's not playing 40 minutes a game, so who's the three when he's not?
Yeah, I was impressed last week with Tyler Hero. I know people had said as a recruit that he was better than he was, you know, getting respect, and he was maybe snubbed for the All-American game and those things. I didn't see a huge gap between him and his other freshman teammates last week. And the one practice we saw, obviously, it's not a huge sample size, but if he can do more than just shoot, he's got the size and the ability, the athleticism maybe to do some other things and play that spot when Keldon's out. Or maybe we see some more three-guard lineups like we saw not last season but the two before that, and they play Quad A quickly and Hagen's all together at the same time. It'll be interesting to see how he makes that decision too.
I had Rex on the show last week, and he has seen several practices, and he was saying that as good a shooter as Hero is, that wasn't the most impressive thing about his game. A really, really good mid-range game, and I saw him mixing it up for rebounds, too.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, at his size, he's going to have to do those other things. We know that John Calipari's track record suggests that no matter how good you can shoot, if you don't do the other things, then you're not guaranteed to play at all. And especially on this team where he has other options that can shoot between Quade, between Quickly. He says Keldon Johnson's a better shooter than maybe he's given credit for. Tyler Hero and Jamal Baker, when he's healthy, are both going to have to do those other things to prove that they're worthy of a spot in this rotation.
They spent a lot of time working on pick-and-roll defense yesterday, and that's obviously a big part of the game now. I think back to the team 4 years ago that was here, that this one is sometimes compared to, at least in terms of depth, but that team was just ideally built for the way basketball is played now, with a guy like Willie who could switch off on everything, and they could really switch at all five spots.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. Maybe that's another reason to put E.J. Montgomery out there, because defensively he seems like maybe of those big men the most able to get out a little bit, block some shots more than maybe P.J. or Reed has shown in their careers thus far. But I know both those other guys, too. That was one of the emphasis from when they tested the draft water. They were told to get better defensively, to show your versatility, show you can defend, you know, at least 3 through 5, if not 1 through 5. So we'll see how that works. But I think E.J. Montgomery maybe brings some of those things too, because that's, if Nick Richards is not, you know, really, really good, if he's, you know, still building on what we saw at the end of last season, I don't know they have a true five. So maybe that's a spot that E.J. can
draw. Yeah, as games play out, not just down here, but into the season, we'll start. They don't seem to have any glaring weaknesses,
right,
but good coaches and good opponents will find some things that they can exploit.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I think is interesting with this team in making the comparison to 2015 or even 2012, 2010, Cal's best teams, is all those teams had the number one pick in the draft on the roster too. And this team does not obviously have that kind of superstar, surefire, top five, even top 10 pick next year in the draft. I think they've got a lot of guys who could go, you know, 10 through 30. And,
right,
and maybe that's the strength of this team, is just their overall depth and there's no one guy who's going to get all the attention, and obviously Calipari's teams thrive in that situation, but they don't have a superstar on the team, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in comparison to what they look like throughout the year.
Who's going to be the leader for this team, PJ?
I think PJ right now, it'll be interesting. I think Reed will eventually have a lot of that role too, and he's going to work his way into it. I thought it was important last week that Reed said that he can't just walk in and get everybody's respect from day one. He's got to earn it. He's, you know, feels like a freshman at times himself. But I think between those two guys and throw Quade Green into, I think those are the guys you look for leadership.
At the point, and there's a natural bit of leadership that comes with the guy that has the ball on his hands that much. Hagans, Quickly, maybe Green too. Any guess on how that plays out?
I think it's my guess Ashton Hagans doesn't reclassify and get here early if he doesn't have a real indication that he's going to play. To me, of their point guards, he's the closest to that, De'Aaron Fox, John Wall. He's obviously not the shooter that the other guys are, and Cal has put such an emphasis on increasing his shooting ability, especially from three-point range. That might be a strike against him, but if I'm guessing, Ashton Hagans ends up starting at point, and then Quade and Quickly end up playing a lot at the two, but also, you know, spelling Hagans a little bit.
Hagans isn't Fox fast, but he isn't too far off.
No, he's really good, really athletic, and it's easy to forget, too, when you talk about reclassifying. He's actually basically the same age as the rest of the freshmen, so it's not like he's, you know, physically less mature than any of those guys out there.
I'll jump to a little football before we let you go. You're down here, but I know you covering football when you get back, and seen a little bit already. You talked to some guys. Any thought on a handicapping the quarterback race?
Yeah, my guess still. We saw practice Saturday, fan day. Neither guy looked great throwing the ball Saturday, which is a little bit to be expected. It's early. There's, you know, rust, and nobody had pads on, so the blocking wasn't great. But to me, Gunnar Hoke needs to be a significantly better passer than Terry Wilson to make sense there, just because Terry can do so many other things with his legs. So I think if it's close in the passing game, and Terry has the arm, I bet they end up going with Terry Wilson. I think they're both going to play the first couple games just to see how they respond to games, but I think Terry's athleticism wins out in the end.
They don't have the game experience at that position, but they talked yesterday about looking at some NFL teams.
Yeah.
Eddie Grant talked about this, and Darren Henshaw, incorporating some NFL concepts. They talked about, I think Henshaw talked about, they studied the Eagles in particular. That would suggest that maybe they are indeed confident that the whoever gets the quarterback job, or if it's both of them, can handle a lot of stuff thrown at them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I asked Darren Hinshaw that on media, basically, for all the things that Stephen Johnson gave you with his intangibles and his leadership and his decision-making in those key situations, is it fair to expect that maybe the passing numbers go up regardless of who wins the game or who wins the job? And he said he thinks that that's a fair assumption right now, but until they play in a game, you never know. But I think they're confident that the passing is going to be better this year.
John, thanks for stopping by.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
This is John Hale, Courier Journal, at John Hale underscore CJ on Twitter. And we'll wrap it up from the Bahamas after this timeout.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
Back in the Bahamas, where it is game day for the Wildcats. Game tips at 7 against the Bahamas select team. And we'll start coverage on the UK network at 6:30 tonight. And we'll get a look look at these guys against outside competition. Got a big guy the Bahamas team does in Shaq Clare, who's 6'9", 260. So he's a guy who's been through 4 or 5 years of college, Maryland to Texas, and plays overseas now. So he's a grown man, as they say, and that'll be a good test for the Kentucky bigs. You've got the young man from Wagner that I mentioned, Michael Carey, had 27 double-doubles at Wagner. And then interested to see these two young guys that they've added to their team. They're not a big part. They haven't played with the national team. Talking about Samuel Hunter and Kai Jones. We were thinking that's how it's pronounced. But both big guys, 6'9", 6'11", respectively. Not very big, but already have D1 offers. So they're not one and done, NBA draft pick types yet, but have, certainly in Jones' case, that kind of upside that is forecast for them. A couple of notes from football yesterday. Eddie Grand talked after the practice session, said the install is done, so they've given them all the offense. Now they start to pare it down, find out what they do best as they get ready for the opening game. Ahmad Wagner's the big guy from Iowa, the former basketball player, made a big catch in the open practice, contested catch on Saturday. Said he's been on and off, so I would say give him a little time. Maybe a guy that could help them in the second half of the season, probably more so than the first, would be my guess. It's going to do it for us. We're back here tomorrow with Mike Pratt, Jeff Drummond, and more. It's the Leach Report from the Bahamas. We'll see you from the arena tonight, 6:30 Eastern, with pregame on the UK Sports Network.